on a sad note today. The former editorial page editor here at the Washington Times and my friend, Tony Blankley, passed away on Saturday. He left behind a wonderful family, many, many friends in the world of politics and the media. He was an extremely likable guy with an easygoing personality and, of course, was one of the prime people here at the Washington Times for quite some time. Joining me now is Brett Decker, the editorial page editor here at the Washington Times. And you've heard Brett and me talk about many things, and probably in passing we've even mentioned Tony Blankley in the past. I know that Tony was on with me as recently as 3 weeks ago. Brett, you knew him far better than I. I had no idea he was sick. I really didn't, because my limited conversations with him were always over the phone for the most part, and he just never exhibited any signs to me that he was ill.
Yeah, you know, he had this really strong voice, and even sort of up until the end,
yeah,
you really wouldn't know. And you know, he had this great sense of humor, even sort of in his final agonies. You know, he'd been fighting this thing for really a few years,
and he got cancer, wasn't it?
Stomach cancer, and about a year and a half ago or so, they'd taken out his whole stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know you could live without a stomach. I googled it, like stomach removal.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But people would run into him and didn't know, and you know, he had this kind of darker complexion that made him look tanned, and he never lost his hair or anything.
Yeah.
And they'd say he looked good, and he'd sort of joke, "Yeah, it's a cancer diet. I don't recommend it." You know,
oh my God.
But he would.
He never said that with me. But I was listening. You know, I deliberately went back and I listened to the interview that I had with him three weeks ago, and we were talking about Newt Gingrich. We were talking about lots of things. But he was joking with me. You know, and of course, you know how you start a conversation, like you say, you know, how are you?
Yeah.
He would say, "Hey, I'm doing just fine, Andy. I'm just fine."
Yeah.
I mean, I had no idea. So when I saw the story over the weekend that Tony Blankley had died, I thought, oh, my God, it must be a car accident or something.
Right.
I really had no
clue.
Well, it
was pretty close. Even the week before Christmas, I'd talked to him on Christmas Eve and a few days before that. And, I mean, he had said he might not make it to Christmas. So when he was on your show, he was in pretty bad shape.
That's unbelievable to me.
You know, always had hope that it might come around, you know.
How did you get to meet him? How did your paths cross?
I mean, it was pretty amazing that he ever hired me to begin with. I know all my bosses say that, right?
You know, yeah, usually, I've heard that for more than one.
But, you know, or usually, you know, why did I do that? In his case, it really shows, I mean, what a unique and special person he was, and what a gentleman he was, and how he didn't hold any grudges in a town where it's part of the blood sport to get blood under your fingernails here.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you have to play by those rules to survive. It's a tough town, and Tony didn't think you had to play it that way. And you know, his, you know, big fame was as an aide to Speaker Gingrich. And I mean, when he hired me, I worked for Tom DeLay and continue to be loyal to Tom. But you know, when he was Majority Whip, you know, Tom DeLay was instrumental in taking and ousting Gingrich as Speaker.
Yeah.
And for Tony to hire me at all, you know, most people wouldn't go into what is perceived as an enemy camp. That's a grudge.
Sure.
People hold for years and years around here. But he thought you can't live in the past. And I mean, he was really an amazing person that way.
Yeah. Yeah. He was here as the editorial page editor, not for a long period of time, but
5 years. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
and then he continued to, you know, make contributions to the paper, right up until very recently. In fact, I understand he was in the middle of writing another piece, wasn't he?
Yeah. I was talking to his wife yesterday, Linda, and, she said, you know, he had a column basically half done. He was working on it. When he died, and he was on three different medications,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, was just trying to kind of crank out another column, you know, was talking to her, and she was helping him write some of it down. And, you know, he's very dedicated to journalism, and it wasn't just the profession as much as he thought it was just, you know, the Fourth Estate is integral to the working of this country, and that a free press is important to keep politicians honest. And, you know, shine the spotlight on things that it need to be known and understood. And he really believed in its centrality to our system. And he was worried about the direction of the country and thought it was more important now than ever for the press to maintain that role. And, you know, it's an amazing thing because he had kind of an upper class air, you know, he had all these great tailored suits and he had that British accent. He was born in London. His dad was Winston Churchill's accountant. Mm-hmm. But he really believed in democracy and the intelligence of the people to eventually do the right thing. And it played itself out in some unique ways, including as a newspaper man. He used to have never seen anything like it, and I'm not capable of it myself. He used to spend like hours every day responding to every single email he got from anybody. Any crank yelling at him. And if you consider how famous he was, you know, all the TV shows he did.
Sure.
I mean, he was an instantly recognizable person to millions of people. He would respond to every single email, every single one. Yeah. And then he would print them up. At the end of the day, it'd be a foot long of emails, you know?
Yeah.
But that's maybe I need to care more like he did, but.
Yeah,
that's a pretty special person that looks at every person's opinion as being important.
Yeah, he was on his last appearance on the show. He said, in fact, one of his final thoughts was that of the country and the direction we're headed, and that we needed 55% of America to get behind the right person and really put up the fight to get this country back to where it was. It would take about 5 years.
Yeah.
And that was sort of his plan. And when I came away from the conversation, I said, you know, what he said makes a whole lot of sense, you know, and I used to do that a lot when I talked to Tony Blankley, you know, and I met him. I didn't meet him till face to face until 2002 when he actually filled in on my radio show across town, and I worked with him for 2 weeks, and it was delightful.
Right,
I found the guy, you know, he, first of all, he liked morning radio. He didn't like the fact he got the 4 a.m. wake up.
Right, yeah.
But he would show up and he'd come in and we would talk about all kinds of things. And I remember the look on his face every time I would mention him being a child superstar because, you know, he appeared in sitcoms back
Lassie.
In the 50s. Yeah, he was, in fact, somebody today said to me, he goes, well, what was he in? I said, well, honestly, this is going to show my age, but I remember the Danny Thomas show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Rusty was the young boy on the show. Well, he was Rusty's friend.
That's funny.
And it was so funny because the first time after I learned this, I went back and I looked at a clip from that show, and I looked at this little guy standing there, this little kid, and I went, that is Tony Blankley. I
could
tell.
Oh, you could tell, really.
Oh, it was Tony.
We'll have to find some pictures.
Yeah, but anyway, he was a very, very nice man. He's going to be missed by many, and I know you guys were close, and, you know, his memory will live a long time around here, that's for sure.
You know, I mean, he was all graciousness and charm, and you know, he's a real gentleman, a term that's used loosely today, but he was a real thing.
Yeah. Pat Buchanan's going to come on a little later, and I know that he and Pat were pretty tight.
They were close. And,
yeah.
And, you know, Pat has a lot of the same qualities he does. He's kind of an old-school gentleman. And,
yep.
And they, you know, they both enjoy a good laugh and a good story.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, you know, we need more people like that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, thanks for stopping in.
Great. You know, I didn't know if I was going to be able to keep it together. So we got through a few minutes.
Yeah, well, you know what? You have a lot to smile about when you think about him. You know, you really do.
He's a good one.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Brett.
Thanks, Andy.